For you open up to the book of Acts, chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. This is actually the 65th lesson or message that we've looked at out of the book of Acts in the past year and a half. It's been a pleasure. This will be the last one, and I'm going to miss the book of Acts. We'll have to come to it from time to time. If you want a quick summary of the book of Acts up to this point, we can simply go to Acts 1:8, which tells us, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And that one verse summarizes the entire book of Acts. I mean, the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost and started a massive spread of the church from that nucleus there in Jerusalem. And that spread went from Jerusalem into Judea and into Samaria, into Rome, and is still continuing today to spread to the uttermost parts of the earth. For the last 2 weeks, we've considered the topic of finishing well. We've looked at Paul and we've considered how that Paul finished God's plan for him to go to Rome well. We will continue that study tonight, which will be part 3 in our series of finishing well from the book of Acts. So if you got your Bibles open at this point, let's look to Acts chapter 28, and we will pick up our reading in verse 13. Verse 16. The Bible says, "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they had agreed not amongst themselves, they departed. After that Paul spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning amongst themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." I'm speaking to you on this topic here tonight, the acts of evangelism, the acts of evangelism. Bow your heads and pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come into your house tonight. Father, we thank You for the privilege of opening up Your Word and reading and studying from it. We thank You for the privilege of singing Your songs and worshiping You. And Father, we come to You now and we ask You to teach us. Father, we come to You as open vessels. Father, we ask You to pour into us what it is that You want us to learn from this passage here tonight. Lord, we so enjoyed our study in the book of Acts. And I pray as we look at this final chapter that it will be gasoline to our fire of evangelism, that we'll never evangelize the same, that we'll evangelize different than we ever have before, so that we can continue the work of Your church. Father, it's in Your Son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Finishing well through the acts of evangelism. To most of us, if you go back and look at verse 31, that says, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding Him. We read that and we're thinking, what happens next? It's like one of them good movies when you come to the end of it and all of a sudden you see all the people that's in the movie start scrolling down the screen and you're like, really? That's the end. Well, that's how we're left thinking when we read verse 31 of Acts chapter 28. It's like, what happens next? I mean, this great book that contains the amazing building and the expansion of the early church, it's open-ended. And here's the reason. When I saw this reason, I think it was MacArthur that I finally read from, I'm like, there it is. Here's the reason. Because the acts of the church have not stopped. They're ongoing. We are the church. We as a church, we are responsible for continuing that Acts 1-8 mission of the book of Acts. So with that in mind, let's consider the message here tonight. Let's consider finishing well through the acts of evangelism. So as we think about that, the first thing I want us to consider here tonight, number one, to finish well, we must evangelize everywhere. We must evangelize everywhere. Because we as Christians, we must evangelize at every single place that we go to. Everywhere we are, we should consider that a great God-given evangelism opportunity. And Paul seized on those opportunities throughout the book of Acts, and especially in our passage here tonight. First of all, Paul evangelized there in his home in Rome. Look back to verse 16 and 17. It says, "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together." So when Paul arrived in Rome, Paul received some special privileges, I guess you could say. He was able to, as verse 16 tells us, to dwell by himself with a soldier. And if you look on to verse 30, it tells us, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired," or his own rented, "house." So Paul was able to rent a house to stay in as opposed of having to stay in prison. He still had a Roman guard chained to him, of course. He still had that. But he was at least given a little freedom and a little preferential treatment. But where Paul was staying at is not where our focus needs to be drawn to here tonight. It's what Paul was doing while he was staying in this rented house that we must draw our attention to. And we see that in verse 17. It says, "And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans." So Paul, he calls the Jews to him at this rented house. He proceeds to let them know that he's innocent. So you would think that Paul would go on and that Paul would go on to give his entire defense and start dogging his accusers. But he didn't. Jews actually ended up leaving at this point. He ended up leaving in verse 22, but only after they had scheduled another day to come back and talk to Paul. That day did come, and we see that in verse 23 when it says, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging,
to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So when Paul got the chance, he, as verse 23 tells us, he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. That word expounded simply means to explain or to declare. So Paul explained and Paul testified, or he caused to believe the things of the kingdom of God. And not only that, he persuaded them concerning Jesus. To put that in layman's terms, which I have to do for me to understand, Paul shared the gospel and some of them believed. Paul did not focus on his rest. He did not focus on sulking in his misery, nor did he try to escape. Paul, as he was chained to this soldier in a rented house, evangelized. And not just this one time either. Go on to verse 30. It says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God. And teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." Paul went on to evangelize from his home for 2 whole years. Paul's evangelism, it was not just confined to his time while on house arrest in Rome either. There's multiple other places that Paul evangelized up to this point in Acts chapter 28. Here's just a few. Paul evangelized in Damascus and Jerusalem in Acts 9 and Acts 15. Paul evangelized in Cyprus and Antioch in Acts 13. He evangelized in Iconium and Lystra and Perga in Acts 14. Paul evangelized in Derbe and Philippi in Acts 16. Paul evangelized in Thessalonica and Berea and Athens in Acts 17. He evangelized in Corinth and Ephesus in Acts 18. Paul evangelized in Troas in Acts 20. Paul evangelized in Jerusalem in Acts 21 and Acts 22. He evangelized in Caesarea in Acts 24. Paul evangelized in Melita or Malta in Acts chapter 27. And that's not even an exhaustive list of the areas that he evangelized. And that was just the areas. When you look at each account, he evangelized in multiple places in those big areas. The point I'm trying to make is this. Paul finished well because he evangelized everywhere. Friends, the gospel is not meant to just be presented in our homes. The gospel is meant to be presented in our cars, at our jobs, in our schools, at church, at the ball games, at Food City, at Walmart, at Aldi's. Everywhere we are at is a gospel presentation area. We must present the gospel everywhere we go, because Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 through 20 says this: "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." That all nations, it includes everywhere we are at. It includes everywhere that we are not at. And by the way, if you look at "go" in that verse, it's not a suggestion. It's not an option. "Go" is a command that we as Christians must follow. To finish well, we must evangelize everywhere. Number two, to finish well, we must evangelize at any time. We must evangelize at any time. We must evangelize at every given opportunity. As we look at our passage in Acts chapter 28, and we consider evangelizing at any time, we can pull two key characteristics from Paul's anytime evangelism. The first one is Paul evangelized at a specific time. He evangelized at a specific time. Look at verse 23. It says, "And when he had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus." So Paul had a specific time that he evangelized. It was appointed him a day. Friends, evangelism is not some random chance. God has preordained those divine appointments, as Brother Red talks about so many times. He has preordained those divine appointments at specific times in our life. And on this day, and on this appointed time, Paul was to evangelize the lost. Paul evangelized at a specific time. Secondly, or B, Paul evangelized for a length of time. Look back to verse 23. It says, "And when they appointed him a day, there come many to him to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified of the kingdom of God." And then the last four words of that verse says, "From morning till evening." What I want us to see is that Paul did not stop evangelizing when he was tired. Paul did not stop when Paul wanted to stop. Paul kept going and going. Paul taught the scriptures and evangelized the lost the entire day. This should be a wake-up call for many of us, because we live in such a fast-paced and a results-driven society that it has saturated the church with this same kind of thinking. We think just because we don't see the instant results of somebody coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior that we might as well give up. And that way of thinking, it's because this fast-paced society has bled over into our evangelism in the church. Friends, it does not work that way, though. Sometimes we have to keep presenting. Sometimes we have to keep answering questions. Sometimes we have to keep praying. We have to keep talking. We have to keep on keeping on. And that keep on keeping on of presenting the gospel may go on all the day long. It did here with Paul. And sometimes our evangelism efforts with a person or maybe a group of people, it may go on for many days or even years. Look at verse 30 of Acts 28. It says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God." So for 2 whole years, Paul preached, and he preached the kingdom of God. For 2 whole years, Paul evangelized the lost from his home. Paul evangelized any time. And if we desire to finish well in our Christian lives, we must evangelize not only everywhere, but we must evangelize at any time. We must remember that God does not fit himself into our schedule. He is our schedule as born again believers. So when he gives us an opportunity to evangelize the lost, we better do it, no matter the time of day or the amount of days it takes to do so. Friends, we must evangelize any time if we want to finish well. We must evangelize everywhere. To finish well, we must evangelize every time. And to finish well, we must evangelize from every platform. We must evangelize from every platform. And Paul evangelized. He evangelized from many different platforms in the book of Acts. And by talking about a platform, I'm talking about a God-ordained opportunity that we are given to evangelize. Because I believe that everything happens for a reason. And that reason is to glorify God. And one of the main ways that we glorify God is through evangelism. God just does not throw us to the wolves and say, "Here you go, go do it." He gives us different platforms from which we can present the life-saving gospel. He causes many different things to happen, which gives us many different platforms so that we can evangelize the lost. And God definitely gave Paul several different platforms throughout his life from which he could evangelize the lost from. Let's consider just a few of those here tonight. First of all, we see Paul's evangelistic platform of house arrest. He was under house arrest. Look back to verse 16. "And when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him." So as Paul, when he arrived at Rome, he was under this house arrest. And Paul did not let the fact that he was under house arrest hinder the work of evangelism. He kept pushing forward. He kept presenting the gospel from every place that he was confined to. We will see as the passage develops that he ends up calling the Jews to him so that he could present the gospel to them. He used his house arrest as a platform from which to evangelize the lost. And then we see that Paul's evangelistic platform of trials. So you had his house arrest and then his trials. Look at that in verse 17 through 19. It says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me would not let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. So Paul, he's been called by the Jews. He has called the Jews to come to him. Because remember, he was under house arrest. He couldn't go to the Jews, so Paul called them to come to him. And he proceeds to explain the trials that he has faced along his way, along his journey to Rome. And the amazing thing about this is that if we go back and we study the different trials that Paul faced, he used each trial as a platform to present the gospel from. Let's quickly review the two trials he mentions there in verse 17 and 19. First of all, we see Paul's trials in Jerusalem. If you remember, Paul was arrested in Acts chapter 21 after he had attempted to make peace with the Jews. These Jews had severely beaten him to a pulp, and as Paul was being carried up to the barracks by the Roman soldiers, he requested to speak to the very same crowd that had beaten him so badly. His defense can be found in Acts chapter 22, and his defense was simply his testimony. And just like our testimony, Paul's testimony was nothing more than a personal gospel presentation. Paul used the trials that he faced there in Jerusalem to evangelize the lost. So we see Paul's trials in Jerusalem, and then we see Paul's trial as a Roman prisoner. His trial as a Roman prisoner. If you remember in Acts chapter 24, Paul was brought before the Roman governor Felix. And these Jews came before Felix. Paul came before Felix with them, and they presented false accusations against him. And then Paul brings his defense to Felix. And Paul's defense, once again, was his testimony. And then at the end of verse 20 of chapter 24, we find Paul using his platform to present the gospel to Felix and his wife Drusilla by themselves. And Paul's trial as a Roman prisoner did not stop with his trial before Felix. He went on in Acts chapter 25 to stand before the Roman governor Festus. And this trial gave Paul a massive opportunity to present the gospel to not only Festus, but to King Agrippa and to everyone that had come to that celebration that they had for King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. So in each trial that Paul talked about in Acts chapter 28, in each trial that he faced, he used that trial as a platform to evangelize the lost. Paul had an evangelistic platform of trials. And then see Paul's evangelistic platform of chains. Look at verse 20. It says, for this cause, therefore I called for you, to see you, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. So Paul at this point, he's called the Jews to him in this rented house. And he's talking to these Jews. And he says at the end of verse 20 that I am bound with this chain. So not only is Paul under house arrest, he's also in chains. And what did he do while he was in these chains? Look at verse 23. It says, and when they appointed unto him a day, there came unto him and to his lodging, to him that expounded and testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Paul did not let his chains stop him from evangelizing the lost. He simply used his chains as a platform to evangelize the lost through the life-saving gospel. Paul had an evangelistic platform of chains. And then we see Paul's evangelistic platform of rejection. Look at verse 24. It says, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Some believed, and some believed not. Some accepted the truth, and some rejected the truth that Paul was preaching. You know, rejection, it's hard to deal with no matter who you are. especially the outright rejection of the gospel right after we present it. But this is exactly what happened to Paul in Acts chapter 28 and verse 24. He had just finished presenting the gospel to the Jews in his house. And some of them, yes, they believed, but some did not. But what did Paul do with the some that rejected? Did he get mad? Did he fly off with his tongue? Did he lose hope? Did he quit evangelizing? No. Look at verse 30. It says, "And Paul dwelt 2 years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." You see, Paul continued preaching the gospel for 2 whole years after the rejection of verse 24. Paul used rejection as a platform from which he could put on a 2-year evangelistic campaign. Paul, without a shadow of a doubt, had an evangelistic platform of rejection. And then we see Paul's evangelistic platform of false accusations. The false accusations that I'm talking about are those false accusations that got Paul arrested in the first place. The false accusations that Paul describes in verse 17 of Acts chapter 28, it's a direct reference to the official accusations brought against him by the Jews in Acts chapter 24 verses 5 and 6. While Paul stood trial before Felix. And those three false accusations, if you remember, was Paul had committed sedition against the Rome. He had been a leader of the heretical sect. And then he had violated the temple. Of course, none of these false accusations were true. But what I want us to see is this, that Paul used these false accusations as a platform from which he could evangelize. These false accusations gave him a platform of evangelism that he used to evangelize the Jews, the Gentiles, Roman governors, Roman leaders, sailors, the islanders of Malta, and even Roman soldiers. What an eye-opener for us as we look at this. Because the first thing we want to do when we're falsely accused of something is to get mad and get even. But not Paul. Was he glad he was falsely accused? No. But he did not let false accusations hinder his evangelism efforts. He simply used false accusations as a God-given platform from which he could present the gospel. Paul had an evangelistic platform of rejection. So to sum it up, Paul had many different platforms from which he shared the gospel. From the platform of being on house arrest to being chained to a Roman soldier, Paul shared the gospel. From the platform of being falsely accused to being rejected, Paul shared the gospel. So that brings the focus back to us. Because Paul is gone, and now the ball is in our court. Are we evangelizing from the platforms that God has preordained or that God has predetermined for us to evangelize from? I'm asking each of us, are we evangelizing in every circumstance? Are we evangelizing in every place? Are we evangelizing through every aspect of our lives? Because friends, to finish well, we must evangelize from every platform. To finish well, we must evangelize everywhere. We must evangelize anytime. We must evangelize from every platform. And number 4, to finish well, we must evangelize in sincere humility. We must evangelize in sincere humility. Paul maintained a humble attitude every time he presented the gospel. We can clearly see that with how Paul addressed the Jews in verses 17 through 20. Look back with me and pay special attention to Paul's attitude and Paul's demeanor as we read through these verses. Verse 17 says, "And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you. Because that, for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Acts chapter 28 and verses 17 through 20. This is no battle cry. This was no puffed up or cocky speech. This was not an angry or a hateful prisoner talking down to his accusers. Paul the entire time remained humble. He addressed the Jews as men, not little boys. He addressed the Jews as brethren, not enemies. Paul talks about the customs of our fathers. Then Paul even makes the statement in verse 19 that he appealed unto Caesar, not because he had something against the Jewish people, but because that was his last resort. This is what John MacArthur said about Paul in verse 19. He said this. He said, the political intriguing of the Sanhedrin left Paul no recourse but to appeal unto the emperor, thus transferring his case out of Palestine. Paul did not want anything he had done to be interpreted as an attack against the Jewish people. His actions were strictly defensive, not offensive. He was the accused, not the accuser. MacArthur had it right because we never find Paul attacking others. He is always humbly defending himself. Paul spoke of humility several other times in the scriptures. For instance, Acts chapter 20. And verse 19 says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me at the lying in wait of the Jews. 1 Corinthians 15:9 says, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Ephesians 3 and verse 8 says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And it was out of this kind of humility that Paul evangelized. He did everything out of humility. He lived out what James 4:6 says. That says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You see, Paul was shown favor by God because he was a humble saint that presented a life-saving gospel to a needy people. To finish well, we must evangelize in sincere humility. Number 5, to finish well, we must evangelize biblically. We must evangelize biblically. We must biblically present the gospel every single time that we do it. Look back to verse 23 of Acts 28. Remember, at this point, Paul has called these Jews unto him. And he has laid out his defense of those false accusations that have been brought unto him. In verse 22, the Jews desired to hear more from Paul. So that's where we pick up our reading of verse 23. It says, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So on this appointed day, Paul biblically presented the gospel. And if we look at Paul's gospel presentation, we can pull some important truths far from it. Number 1, or A in your outline, the audience of Paul's gospel presentation. Look at verse 23. It says, and when they had appointed him a day. It goes on to say, there came many to him. It goes on to say again, to whom he expounded and testified. And then Paul says, persuading them concerning Jesus. Friends, Paul presented the gospel to people. Living, breathing, and real people. Some of you, you're probably thinking, well, no kidding, Sherlock. Or who else would he present the gospel to? But what we must remember is that the gospel is for people and people alone. The gospel is not for animals or for any part of God's creation, including even the angels. 1 Peter 1:12 says this, "Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven." Then this last part, it says, "which things the angels desire to look into." Friends, even the angels, they marvel at, or they desire to look into salvation. Why? Because Christ did not die for them. Christ died for us. He died for people. He died for living, breathing human beings. The gospel is for people, so we must take the gospel to the people. Too many Christians keep the gospel to themselves. Too many Christians will practice presenting the gospel in front of a mirror, or maybe presenting the gospel to their animal at their home. But if we're going to biblically present the gospel, we must present it to those who need the gospel, which is the entire human race. The gospel is for people. So we looked at the audience of Paul's gospel presentation. Now let's look at the content of Paul's gospel presentation. Look back to verse 23 one more time. Luke says that Paul, he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. Now that phrase, the kingdom of God, is talking about God's rule, not only of creation, not only of the earth, but God's rule in salvation. So Paul was explaining that God rules, or that God is in charge of our salvation. He was saying that salvation is by God's way, not man's way. That salvation was through God alone and none other. So Paul was expounding, or Paul explained that God's rule, that God rules. Then Paul testified about the kingdom of God. He said, "in testifying about the kingdom of God." That phrase simply means that Paul preached the gospel. Paul preached, or Paul tries to persuade them, as verse 23 says, concerning Jesus. Friends, what other content do we need than a ruling God who sent His perfect Son to die for our horrible sins that we must submit to and believe in? There is nothing more than we need than that. Paul preached this same gospel time and time again. The same gospel that's found throughout the Scriptures. In Scriptures like 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verses 1 through 4, that says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Here it is. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." You see, once we realize that we are sinners, and that God is in charge, and that salvation can only be attained through His Son Jesus, only then are we ready for salvation. And this is exactly what Paul did with these Jews. He helped them see their need of a Savior. So we looked at the audience of Paul's gospel presentation. We looked at the content of Paul's gospel presentation. And now see, let's look at the method of Paul's gospel presentation. Now when we start talking about methods of gospel presentation, this is where people run off the tracks sometimes. They allow a method to overrule truth. Or they allow their method to sort of play with sin. But not Paul. Paul used the same method to present the gospel as he has used with the Jews the entire time through the book of Acts. And this method is found towards the end of verse 23. Look at verse 23. It says, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus." Here's his method. "Both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening." Paul called what he used, what I'd like to call, is the Old Testament method. Paul knew that he was talking to the Jews that accepted the laws of the Old Testament. So how did he present the gospel? He presented the gospel through the Old Testament. And although we don't know exactly what verses that Paul used, here's just a few out of the Old Testament that starts to present the gospel. Genesis 3 and verse 15 says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." We're talking about the serpent and Eve at this point. It was the seed of woman that would crush the head of the serpent. That seed, it was Jesus Christ. Isaiah 7:14 says this. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. You see, Christ is God with us. Psalms 22 verses 7 and 8 says, "All they that see me laugh to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusteth on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." You see, it's the Lord that delivers those who trust in him. And then Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." It was Christ that was pierced for our transgressions. It was Christ who was bruised for our iniquities. It was Christ who was punished so peace could be brought unto us. It was Christ's wounds from which we are currently healed. Paul used the Old Testament method because it made sense. The Jews knew about the Old Testament, so why not reveal Christ to them through the Old Testament? Friends, we must do the same thing when we evangelize. But we can't be so rigid in our methods that we don't clearly explain the gospel. And that's why I love programs that teach different methods of presenting the gospel, such as Way of the Master or faith. That's why I love methods such as the Romans Road or the ABC method. Because everybody is different, and their knowledge of the scriptures are at different levels. And to be honest with you, methods, they just flat out give us a plan to stick to. And with a plan, we're less likely to get stumped. And there's one thing we must remember, though. As we use these different kinds of methods, we must remember this. That the method of evangelism, it may change, but the content of evangelism must always remain the same. Because, friends, if we dare change the content, I'm talking about changing the content of the gospel presentation, such as sin, or repentance, or taking out faith, or trying to remove the cross, or trying to remove the innocent sacrifice of the Lamb of God, or trying to remove the grave, or remove the resurrection, or remove professing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life. If we dare change any of those things, we are presenting a false gospel. And 2 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 1 says this, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, and denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Swift destruction. A false gospel presentation produces false converts and results in bringing swift destruction on the false gospel teachers. To evangelize biblically, we must evangelize people with the correct content and a God-honoring method. To finish well, we must evangelize biblically. To finish well, we must evangelize everywhere. To finish well, we must evangelize anytime. We must evangelize from every platform. We must evangelize in sincere humility. We must evangelize biblically. And lastly, to finish well, we must evangelize everyone. We must evangelize everyone. Look back to verse 30 of Acts chapter 28 for just a moment. It says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him." I just love the word all in that passage. You know what that tells me? That Paul turned no one away. For 2 years straight, Paul denied the gospel to no one. And this tells us two obvious things. First of all, it tells us that Paul tirelessly presented the gospel. You know that for 2 years straight, everybody did not come at the same time. I bet Paul's house was like a revolving door of people coming in and people going out. And even large crowds of people packing into the house. He was known like a celebrity to the world, a criminal to some of the Jews, and a godly saint to some true believers. So all of these groups would have came to see Paul and to hear from Paul. And what did Paul do? My Bible tells me he received them and presented the gospel to them. So Paul tirelessly presented the gospel, and then B, Paul inclusively presented the gospel. You see, the word all, it shows no partiality. The word all gives no distinction to the color of skin. Paul received all who came. Paul presented the gospel to all who come unto him. Paul presented the gospel to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Paul presented the gospel to the Romans and to the Greeks. Paul presented the gospel to the leaders and to the peasants. He presented the gospel to the masters and to the servants. Paul presented the gospel to all. Friends, to finish well, we must evangelize everyone. And that's exactly where I want to close out our message tonight. Because to finish well, we must evangelize everywhere. Everywhere we are at must be an evangelism opportunity. To finish well, we must evangelize at any time. To finish well, we must evangelize from every platform. Every platform that God has given us is an opportunity to share the life-saving gospel with the needy world. To finish well, we must evangelize in sincere humility. We as a Christian people must be humble, and especially when we present the gospel. To finish well, we must evangelize biblically, because it's from the Bible that we build our whole entire life. To finish well, we must evangelize everyone. And the application I want us to take away from the message here tonight is this. If you are a professing Christian and you desire to finish well, you must evangelize. The book of Acts, it has no end, because we are the end. We continue the work of the book of Acts. I'm going to close by reading something that a great Christian saint by the name of Charles H. Spurgeon wrote. And I think we're going to have this up on the overhead. And he said this. He said, "If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped around their knees. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions. And let no one go unwarned or unprayed for." Can we honestly say that that's how we feel here tonight about evangelism? Bow with me as we pray. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us once again to open up your perfect, inspired word. Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul and for the saints of the book of Acts, for how that they tirelessly evangelized. Father, they literally evangelized the world. And Father, I pray that that would be an encouragement to us, that we should never stop evangelizing. Father, because without the gospel, because without salvation, people are heading to hell. They're heading to eternal torment. They're heading to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Without the gospel, that's where our parents will go. Without the gospel, that's where our friends will go. Without the gospel, that's where our children will go. Father, I pray that that will hit home with us tonight. I pray that we will have a desire to see lost souls saved, that we will have a desire to live out the call of the book of Acts. Father, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I call out to you and I ask you if there's anybody within the sound of my voice here tonight, anybody in this building or anybody watching my live stream that don't truly know you as a Lord and Savior of their life, that's never truly repented of their sins and placed their total faith and trust in you and what your Son did for them on the cross. Father, tonight I pray would be the night that they would do that. Lord, have your way with this time of invitation. And we promise to give you all the glory and to give you all the praise for all that's accomplished here tonight. And Lord, it's in your Son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.